Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
The best part of waking up is pooping in your cup.
You are on an incredibly hot mic right now.
Am I?
Oh, nice.
Well, good. I might be too. I'm having my traditional American breakfast, 40-year-old man breakfast of a Diet Coke and a Pop-Tart.
Diet Coke and Pop-Tart. What a breakfast.
I got up like super early. I missed your text earlier because I was out snow blowing, because that's what you do, manly man.
I think if you wanted to argue that it was a manly man thing, wouldn't you have to be shoveling? Isn't that?
No. Shoveling is for plebeians.
It's been a while since I've done the top down on what makes a manly man, but I'm fairly certain that some dude with a beard, flannel, and a twirled mustache is like a snowblower. What are you, a beta?
I guarantee you. There's two levels of thought in there. One is the work harder, not smarter man, which is always a good guy. And the other one is the I'm gonna have a heart attack while doing manual labor manly man.
That only happens because they don't do anything, and then the first activity they've had in the entire year is they go outside and start shoveling snow.
Yeah.
So well, yes. Yeah,
that's 99% of the people who shovel their snow with a shovel. That's what they're gonna be doing. Yeah.
I'll say, I mean, I usually shovel the snow with a shovel, but my cardio is really good. So
I messaged Pat B's wife, and I was like, on days like today, do you ever like take pictures of outside and send them to Pat and say like, hey, the neighbors are shoveling their drives already, just to make Pat nervous and angry? Because Pat's not a manly man. Pat is a dadly man. Let's put it that way. He's a dad. He's still manly, but he's dadly man. He's the type of guy that has to have his lawn mowed with the stripes all in the same direction.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like he has to have an immaculate lawn.
He's the khaki pants, button down shirt, pipe dad.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Nope. They don't call them khaki pants, sir. Those are slacks.
Slacks. My bad. Yes.
No, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, kid.
No, it's dads nowadays. They wear cargo pants and cargo shorts.
I was going with the archetypical.
Yeah. You're going with like the Ward Cleaver style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No. Like,
I don't know there, Bob. I think we need to beat the beaver a little bit more.
Yeah. No, it was Uncle. What was the uncle's name? Fuck, I don't remember. I'm Leave It. It's been a long time since I watched Leave It to Beaver. No, I'm thinking My Three Sons is what I'm thinking, with the uncle who would hang out with the three sons. That's like back in the day when a guy would wear a sweater while out in the middle of the July sun mowing his lawn with the push mower.
Of course. Well, it's like, I mean, it's just like, that's like the Chicagoan thing where it's just like you're just wearing shorts, and it's just like people are like, it's super, it's like, you know, people see pictures and like, why the fuck are those people wearing shorts? And it's like, I don't know, if you live in Chicago, you just eventually are just like, your tolerance just goes higher for cold.
It does. I mean, I'll give you that. But however, there is the obnoxious people that always wear shorts. And then you're like, dude, you're wearing shorts. It's like 22 degrees. And they're like, it's not that cold. It's like, fuck you.
I only am okay with those, there's a variant of those shorts wearers, which I'm okay with, which I find they're incredibly rare. So, you know, I'm not going to say there's a ton of them, but there's the variants of the shorts where they are 110% bundled up, like literally everywhere, except they're wearing shorts. I'm okay with those guys.
Those guys,
I'm like, you know what? They're venting the heat. They got to make sure that they're in the exact, they've created the perfect slipstream of heat to cold in their body.
Yeah. So like the methane that they produce from their gas blows out their legs. And it keeps the legs warm, like an outdoor heating facility.
Exactly. See, now there you go. Now that's the one type of short wearer I can get. But yeah, like the dudes who are just like walking around, like basically just trying to be, you know, they're just basically trying to be a tough guy.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I hate those people.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in the tough guy ones. I mean, I've definitely gone outside in shorts, like unintentionally gauging how cold it was, and then like people are like, why are you wearing shorts? I'm like, I'm fucking cold. It was a mistake.
This was a mistake. No, yeah. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but if you are currently or know someone who is currently wearing cargo pants or cargo shorts, you need to have an intervention, because it's
cargo,
like,
shorts are weird.
What's that?
Cargo shorts are weird, man.
Well, it's a fashion fad that's like, I don't know, 15 years out of date at this point, and you have to have that conversation. It's like the guy who's still wearing a goatee, right? Like, you can't have the goatee, and you got to have either full facial hair, a mustache, or no facial hair.
Mm.
And even the mustache, though, is a little anachronistic. But if you could pull off a solid mustache, pull off that solid mustache, sir.
Here's my thing, though. I will give you the ability to rock a goatee if you are just evil. Like, if you're just a villain, bad guy, you can have a goatee. That's
if
fine.
You are from a parallel universe, you are allowed to wear a goatee as well.
Also true. Yes.
Yeah, but you have to be evil universe, not good universe. Unless the
evil universe.
Unless in this universe you have you're the mirror of a person from this universe who has a goatee, and you're good in the mirror universe because the person in this universe is evil. And there's a whole like there's an if then statement flow chart that belongs with the goatee, but just to be safe, don't wear the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus if you're a villain though, you probably should have a like a big, as aforementioned, twirly mustache.
I think it depends on what kind of villain you are. If you're like a Jeff Bezos villain, you should have a goatee. If you are who's a girl, like Jeff Bezos villain, goatee. Elon Musk, I would say you should have a mustache because you're a joke. So like it makes sense.
Yeah. However, you should the Elon Musk villain still need to be bald like Elon Musk, who is turning into Lex Luthor. Like we always thought Lex Luthor was a joke, but it turns out Lex Luthor is real, and it's Jeff Bezos.
It's true. He is. He's Lex Luthor. He really is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there is no Superman to thwart his plans.
And the weird thing is, too, I mean, and this is just kind of like a weird observation, that the name Bezos actually kind of sounds like a golden age villain, like a mad scientist, like the mad scientist Bezos. Like, am I, you know, it's weird. Like when you think about it, like it's in the classic Superman, you know, when he was like killing Nazis and, you know, punching criminals, like the mad scientist Bezos would be like one of those people who's like, I've invented a shrink ray.
Yeah. Or planet Bezos also would work. Well,
yeah. Planet Bezos. Yeah. From the planet Bezos. Yeah. I could see that, but. Yeah.
He's the evil Jeff Bezos from the planet Bezos.
Jeff of Bezos. Well, Jeff of Bezos doesn't work.
Oh, so. Jeff of Bezos. That works. Yeah, that works really well.
Yeah, Jeff of Bezos. Anywho, welcome to Game Classy Podcast. I haven't introduced us in a long time, probably like 30 podcasts.
You think so?
I don't know, probably not. Yeah. I am Joe, and with me is always my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
I think the big news.
You were fond of me, lobster, weren't you?
You are fond of me, lobster. I think the big news of the week is Adepticon tickets have gone on sale.
Oh, for me, my big news of the week was I saw a picture of what Willem Dafoe looked like when he was 26.
He looked attractive.
Holy fuck, Willem Dafoe was fucking handsome as shit. What the fuck?
I don't know if I would say he has a handsome, unique face, but I'm not saying he was handsome as fuck.
The four pictures I saw, I thought he was extremely handsome. His fucking cheekbones are ridiculous. He looked kind of like a James Dean-ish. I don't know. He looks absolutely nothing like that anymore.
Yeah, I mean
he's still extremely handsome, but you know, in Willem Dafoe way.
Yeah, I mean he's no Robert Pattinson. Let's just put it that way.
It's true. Or what's his name? They look how they massacred my boy.
Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando was super hunky too.
I mean he also had a unique face. I mean, I always think about him in what was that movie where they had sex with all the food?
Sex
midnight, not Midnight in Paris. Oh God. Fuck. I know there's someone who's gonna be Brando food.
I have no idea what you're talking about with the food. No, I don't know. Maybe I just find unique male faces to be more handsome.
You know, God damn it. I can't think of what the, Last Tango in Paris. That's what it is. Not Midnight in Paris. Mm-hmm. He's like, get the butter. I'm not joking. That's an actual real scene. It's not a good movie.
It sounds pretty bad.
You know, there's only in a finite
you said Marlon Brando and they fucked all the food. So yeah. Like I was already like, I'm out. Like we're good.
Yeah. I mean, we have a finite time on this earth and we can only use that time to watch so many movies. Last Tango in Paris does not need to be on that list. Like, yeah. If you're going to watch a Bertolucci movie, yeah, I don't know. There's probably other ones that would be better. The Last Emperor is a great Bertolucci movie. You could watch that one.
Well, you should watch The Golden Child.
Or you could watch The Golden Child. That's the other one that you could watch.
I love The Golden Child.
Actually, Last Emperor was pretty good now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm sure I've seen that movie, but it's been too long for me to remember.
It doesn't have Eddie Murphy and a stop motion and a demon monster that's really, really weird looking, even by 80s standards.
Well, I mean, that's a huge drawback, no doubt. But, you know, there's a... You know, we got to make exceptions sometimes. I guess. We got to make exceptions,
but as I say, young one.
Yes,
yes. He was no Robert Pattinson. He was no Chris Evans. And for the British listeners, that's Captain America Chris Evans, not your weird Top Gear Chris Evans or whatever show he's on currently.
Is there more than one Chris Evans?
There is more than one. What's a pretty common name when you think about it?
I mean, Chris is a common name. I just didn't think Chris Evans was like a specifically common name.
Yeah. I mean, I also find it. Do you find it weird that you have so many people in the Marvel Universe named Chris?
See, before it was even the Marvel Universe, I just thought it was weird that there were so many famous actors named Chris, because there's Chris Pratt, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah,
Chris O'Donnell.
There's a lot of Christophers.
Yeah, there's a shit Christopher Walken.
Well, it's Christopher Walken.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously none of them can hold Christopher Walken's water, but you know, we're still talking about famous Chris's here. Chris Evans. There's definitely more.
I'm surprised.
It's that they're all famous right now. Like they're all roughly the same level of famous.
I mean, in the Marvel Universe alone, you have Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris
Pratt.
Pratt, yeah. I mean, like the three big stars of the Marvel Universe are Chris's. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's happening all at the same time. Yeah.
All right, let's talk Adepticon. Adepticon is going to happen. They're saying it's going to happen. I find it very odd that they're it seems like we're counting our chickens before they hatch, or putting all of our eggs into one basket. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's the proper metaphor here.
I mean, at this point, I think we're putting a bunch of broken eggs, slime and shell into said basket. So yeah, at this point, whatever.
Yeah, I think I think everyone's pretty much done. So if you think about how the pandemic is working out, they're on one side, on we'll say the right side, Steve, the RIGHT side. There's a bunch of people, not necessarily the right as incorrect side, but we'll put them on one side of the room. We'll say they're on the right side of the room. They're the people who are saying that, everything's fake, blah, 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 there's no such thing as COVID.
Right, of course.
You know, those people. And let's say on the left side of the room, if we divide up the room, there's the people who are like, oh, my fucking God, don't leave your fucking house. You know, the germs have mutated to dog sizes and they will kill you if you walk outside. you know.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. As I always say, it's like when you're driving down the street and you see a person driving their car with a mask on and there's no one else in the car. I just want to roll down my window and ask them, who hurt you? Like, you know, like, why are you driving with a mask on? Like, is your life that sad at this moment that you have to drive with a mask on?
I think the couple people I know who drive with masks on are Lyft drivers. So they just have their mask on because they can, like, at any moment just, like, turn and grab someone. So
yeah, those well, yeah, that, that's different, though. That's different. When I'm driving to work at 6 a.m., you know, it's 6:15 a.m. and I'm seeing people on the road with masks on. I know those are the people I need to avoid because they are so unaware of their own personal self that they are definitely unaware of driving around them.
maybe they're just that forgetful. They're like, if they don't put the mask on, they'll forget.
Yeah. And then in the center, there's the people who are like, you know, I want to be safe. I want to help other people be safe. You know, I got my vaccines. I maybe not have gotten the booster, but I at least got, you know, my two vaccine shots. I wear a mask when I go into a store. I follow the rules, essentially. Those people in the middle are the ones that are going to be like deciding how long the pandemic goes. And I think more and more of them are kind of like going to the, all right, you know, we're done at this point.
No, there's no hope. It's over. Yeah. It's over. Yeah. This is it. We're done. Yeah.
You know, my wife actually got the COVID. So, she has the Optimus Prime variant.
Optimus Prime variant, yes, of course.
the Omicronius Prime variant.
I wanted to get Sigma myself so I could complete my journey and become a true Sigma male.
Yeah, I thought so on that end. She's perfectly fine. I'm making her wear a mask in the house. She's not allowed to touch anything.
Like this version is like, it's still dangerous. It's still putting people in the hospital. It's still killing people, but it's also super dangerous if you live with people who have comorbidities. It's still really dangerous for many people, but like the head of the CDC just being like, don't worry, it only kills cripples is kind of fucked up.
Well, you know, at this point where they're like, you know, the vast majority, I mean, like 99% of the people that it's killing are unvaccinated who are crazos. That's the part where I'm just kind of like,
yeah, those people, it's kind of like, it's like you fucked around and found out like at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like lying on their deathbed saying like, oh God, please give me the vaccine. They're like, not how it works.
Yeah, it doesn't work now, buddy. It's too late.
Exactly. I mean, I'm whatever at this point. But yeah, Adepticon is happening. I remember it's actually kind of funny because Adepticon is so big this year. They actually, and in order to give more space because they don't want everyone crowded, you know, elbows to asses to elbows. Mm-hmm. They actually expanded the gaming space to a hotel that's nearby.
That's kind of cool. So it's going to be like a two hotel convention?
Kind of, yeah. It's getting bigger.
Man, do you remember when Adepticon started and it was just that one room?
Yeah, exactly. I never went to those early Adepticons.
Really? No, I didn't.
I think it was like, I'm talking like when it first started and like, was it 2002, 2003?
I didn't go to the super first one, but I went to like really early ones because I was like, that was the height of my like tournament, like sweat lording Warhammer.
Yeah, I went like in 05 or 06. It was one of it was early, but not like one of those first ones. Because I was like, who wants to play in a Warhammer tournament? You know, only fucking dweebs want to play a Warhammer.
Sweat lord, thank you.
As I'm working.
As you're gearing up for a Warhammer tournament.
Yeah, as I'm working at Games Workshop at the time.
Nice.
I worked at Workshop from what 03 to 07. So
yeah, I think I was there for like 3 years, 2 or 3 years, and you were there for 5 or 6. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I worked part time for so long in that company. I just remember driving down to Atlanta with the company doing Atlanta Games Day.
I loved Games Day because that was the best. Because I was the one who was always like 100% like, I will stay here. I don't want to go. And so I always manned the shop. Those days were always the best because it was always like there would be like the couple kids who couldn't convince their parents to take them to Games Day, and then the one dude who just doesn't go anywhere. He's just like, I shouldn't say that. Not that he doesn't go anywhere. The one dude who lives at the bunker,
Oh yeah. Oh god, so like, that guy.
Yeah. So like that was the crew. It was the kids whose parents they couldn't convince to take them, and the dude who lived at the bunker, who was fine. He was kind of weird, obviously, because he spent time at the bunker.
No, don't justify those people, because every game store has this person who lives at the fucking store, and you're like,
there's levels. This guy didn't bother anyone. He didn't. He just sat. He quietly painted by himself. He didn't bother anyone. But I mean, it's weird. I'm not going to say it's not weird, but I'm going to say this particular guy, at least, not usually when you have the guys who are at the store all the time, it's because they're like, they've got some sort of like social disorder. So they're like, they're really loud and like,
no, that's the, that's generally the people that they make or break the game store. When a shop owner, when you get that person who lives at, when you find that person who lives at your game store, you better make sure that they are, you know, they understand fully. You are not an employee, and you have to leave when I tell you. You have to leave. Like,
yes,
we have to have that conversation.
Yes, we have to. You have to hope that they're on the quiet side of the social awkward, not the like yelling at 11 out of 10 volume about their army social awkward.
Yeah. Or when the parent comes in, they're like, "I can help you find what you need," and you're just like, "No."
Yes. Yeah. No. Don't talk to that guy.
Yes.
When I worked at the game store at the mall, there was like a double whammy, because there was like the dude who was always at the mall, but then also always at the game store. Oh man, because once he would exhaust all social awkwardness that you could get. He would exhaust at the game store. And then once he ran out of juice there, he would leave, wander around the mall. And then like, I'd see him walking on the other end of the hallway, and he'd be peeking at the game store to see if anyone was in the store browsing that he could bother. Mm-hmm. Not even kidding. It was at one moment there was someone looking at D&D books, and he saw from across the hall, or I don't know, it's not a hall. I don't know. Cause you know, like there's the second floor of the mall, there's like the stores, then there's the gap where you can see the first floor, and then there's across the way.
Yeah.
So he was across the way on the other gap, and he saw from his vantage point, because I looked over and I saw him, that there was someone looking at the D&D books, and I saw his eyes like bulge out of his fucking head, and he full on fucking sprinted around the fucking the gap, and just like basically bum rushed this guy in my store, like like breathing heavily, like my paladin, like those are the two words he said, my paladin. I'm not even kidding, like, he was breathing heavy, and he said my paladin, like I'm like oh my fucking god. Yeah, it was pretty unreal.
I mean, and the thing is like, as much as I know you're probably exaggerating slight parts of that, I could see every part of that happening 100%.
Yes.
I should never doubt you on any of that, because
it legit happened.
My palate.
He was super high functioning autistic. He was not a bad guy, like he really wasn't, but he just like, he wanted to talk about Dungeons and Dragons, like he fucking wanted to talk about Dungeons and Dragons, and he would talk to anyone he even remotely perceived that was interested in Dungeons and Dragons. And let me tell you, not for nothing, he was a fucking encyclopedia. like ridiculous encyclopedia. You'd be like, hey, what book is this from? And he's like, it's from this book.
You know, yeah, it's good to have that ability. I will say to have that encyclopedic knowledge on things like that.
It was pretty cool.
Part of what I wanted to say though about the Adepticon with the moving of the venue, a part of the venue is, There is some controversy. I may have talked about this when it was first announced, but I don't know. I didn't remember if I did or not. But it's always good to revisit it, because it's good to have a LARF at these people.
Of course.
They segregated all of the historical games to the secondary location.
I mean, that just sounds smart.
That just sounds smart. Get them away.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you might as well just call that the COVID ward.
The COVID ward.
I mean, it's the historical game section. There's going to be that is where the super spreading event will start.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure actually where my events are that I signed up for. So I should be aware. I mean, because technically Horus Heresy probably would be one of those ones that would get shelved into the side room, you know, the side hotel. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100% sure on that. So I'll have to double check on that. But yeah, they shuffled, and then so a lot of those guys are upset, which makes sense. It's kind of almost to the point where Akon needs to maybe get a bigger venue. Maybe I don't know what they could get that's bigger kind of in the area aside from going to Rosemont.
We'll have to see what next year holds. I didn't make any sort of like thoughts even in my mind about even trying to get ready for Adepticon, because like I had written this year off already.
Yeah.
So like that, when you asked me if I was going to Adepticon, I was like, my question was legitimate. I was like, they're having Adepticon? Yeah. Like I didn't realize that it was still like going forward.
No, but as I said, you know, but that's what I say. It's like we have moved past it at this point. There's no longer anyone who cares about anything anymore.
Well, right. No, I didn't mean like, sorry, I didn't mean like, I'm surprised they haven't canceled it in the face of the current news. Because if you've booked anything in the first quarter of this year, if you cancel, you're going to lose your ass because the fucking venue is going to keep all your money.
Yeah,
that wasn't what surprised me. I was just surprised that it was scheduled. I didn't realize that they like went ahead and were like, we're doing it again. That was because I didn't hear. Like, I'm so far removed from the pulse of like of minis games, because it's like, you know, everything has shifted to all be all about cards. Like, I mean, card game stuff is like all my news bubble is all card game and collectibles related now. It's no longer minis games.
No longer minis games. No, I mean,
but to that effect, I did find a solution for my minis problem where I was telling you, like, I was like, I just can't get the motivation up to build these fucking models. And like, I really wanted to paint the other day. I was legit like, oh my God, I've got like 2 hours of kind of like free time. I should paint models. And then I looked over and I was like, oh, right, I can't. They're all on sprues.
I've actually, I texted you about the great migration that's going on in my house right now.
The migration.
Yeah, we're.
It's the land before time. You got to find the Starleafs.
Yes. Wow, that's a deep cut. Right. For those who don't know, I'm probably gonna end up. I'm gonna be moving in the spring. Gotta hit while this market's hot, Steve. But we're gonna be looking for a new property that's probably a little bit bigger. So I have to move all of the collection, all of the Dragon Horde, and it's very weird that it's coming at this time, because on one hand, I love my stuff and blah blah blah. But I'm also like kind of almost going through a very Buddhist, like, you can't find happiness through things phase, which is,
hey, I did that. And that's why all of my possessions now fit on one little shelf.
Yes. Which is, you know, it's fine. That's like it's a good way of looking at things. And also it's, you know, I'm looking at that, and I'm also looking at, you know, I'm moving, and I have to move all of this stuff to wherever I move to, which is never a pleasant situation. So this is a very interesting time to be Joe.
Yeah, I talked to Kevin about that as well, because Kevin is also moving, recently moved, or some forth. He's also dealt with the like, I'm moving all of my stuff, and I talked about how once I like. Kind of like, you know, just got rid of like almost everything I owned for the most part. I had like I didn't realize it, but now that I like look at what I have, I thought about it and I was like, I think what I have is reasonable for a person. And that limiter is basically like literally everything. So this includes like furniture I own, games, whatever the case is, 100% of my worldly possessions, period. For me, I feel that I'm very comfortable if that can fit in a sedan.
In a sedan. Nice.
In a sedan. That is my like, that is my like I want everything I have to be able to fit into a sedan. That's kind of like my the maximum amount of stuff I have. So, I mean, I got rid of all my physical media. All my games are digital now. I have the only physical media I still have is books. Cause there's just something about books, man. I was talking about this because I got the Fallout RPG, the D20 one, the 2D20, I should say. And, I ordered the collector's edition from direct from the manufacturer, and, it comes free with the PDF. And like I got the PDF and I was just like, I was trying to read it and like, it just doesn't work. I can't do the PDFs.
Yeah, I'm not a big PDF. Like PDFs work best in a situation kind of like what I was doing with D&D when I was writing up a character and I needed to pull from like three different books and I could pull all three books up on my computer monitors and just be like, okay, you know, just a couple things here, cut and paste. Create myself
exactly
cheat sheets, targeted, and it's fine.
For targeted search, PDF is completely unparalleled. Like if you're in the middle of a game session and you need to know how like exploding criticals work, being able to just open your PDF and type exploding criticals and immediately have the rules is way more efficient than shuffling through the book. Absolutely, no question. But for me, if I want to sit down and absorb all of the content in the book.
If you want the flavor.
I just can't do that starting from page one. I will finish this book with a PDF. It just doesn't work for me. I don't know. Especially with novels, like with rules manuals, it's hard enough, but like with novels, I don't know. Anyone can read novels on PDFs. It's just an odd thing to me, but I guess novels are a specific beast for me because once I switched to audiobooks, like it, I can't even read like a regular novel anymore.
You've just lost your ability to read.
I mean, unless it's rules. Yeah. I'm still good at reading rules though.
I actually, I'm kind of there with you on the audiobooks. I don't have the time. I have all the time in the world while I'm driving to work. And when I'm out of work, when I'm outside of work, I don't usually will read it. Have the time to read a novel.
Right. That's the same for me. It's just like I'm working out and I'm like, I can't just sit down and just like read a book because like I'm moving. You know, I mean, I do like, I get like 15 to 20,000 steps a day. Like I can't do that by sitting down and reading.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. I normally will do that when I'm driving. When I'm actually on the treadmill, I watch my episodes of Stargate SG-1 or Stargate Atlantis.
Also super good. I also watch stuff when I'm on the treadmill too. Although the treadmill I bought very recently, in October, just fucking broke, which is infuriating. Cause I've had the fucking thing for a couple months and I followed the fucking instruction manuals, maintenance things. And you know, it's broken, but I was able to facilitate a return. However, the thing that actually like really fucked me up about it breaking more so than it breaking so fast is that when the error code came on the belt, I didn't even think about this because I was so mad at the time, but the belt just came to a dead stop. I was walking at the time, so because I was walking, my immediate result was me getting mad that my treadmill was broken. And like, I looked at the error code and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm so fucking mad. I was like, I bought this fucking thing in October. And then like, I thought about it. I was like, wait, if I was running, I would have went fucking flying.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I was like, oh, it's like, holy fuck. Like I could have been really, really fucking hurt if I was going full bore. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to return this fucking thing. So I ended up getting, I talked to Amazon. I'm getting a return and I'm going to switch to a manual treadmill, which is something I didn't even know existed.
Did you get a Peloton?
No, I did not get a Peloton. If I got a Peloton and it broke, and if I got a Peloton and it broke that fast and in that manner, I would be suing that company. Fucking Pelotons are like $2,000.
Yeah, they're expensive as all hell. Man, that's middle class problems.
I ain't middle class. I can't afford a fucking $2,000 treadmill.
Actually, I just was at the bookstore the other day. because you're talking about books, and I, you know, I saw a copy, a paperback copy of a Black Library Necromunda book, right? Just an older one, not too old, but like, let's say like maybe early 2000s Black Library book.
Okay.
It, apparently it's a super rare book because they wanted like $200 for it, a paperback.
Wow.
I know. I was like, I was kind of shocked by that. I was like, I didn't know that there was any Black Library books that were worth anything like that.
I've got some old, I've got some really fucking old Black Library books. Maybe I should,
yeah, I mean, you should,
I mean, I should go have these books.
I don't know. Most of the Black Library stuff I own the omnibuses that they've been putting out for like the last, I don't know, however many years.
Again, when I was fucking, when I was mad into Warhammer, dude, I bought like any Black Library book I would just buy like in the middle of the series. Just like, I was just like, I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
I read a lot of Black Library books back then.
As I will defend most Black Library in that it is the worst, cheesiest trash on the planet.
Like, they are, you know what they are? They're fucking popcorn movies, but they're books.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, 100%. They're not even popcorn movies. They're like popcorn Netflix movies. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, I believe a popcorn Netflix movie has become the new standard of what is a popcorn movie.
Yeah, I mean, like none of these are really any. There's not a single Black Library book that I could point to that I'm like this. This is art.
It's just fun. That's all it is. It's like, I do believe that like there's a lot of derision towards like vacuous novels, and I think that's kind of lame. Like, dude, sometimes you can just read something stupid to have fun. Like reading the novelization of the Super Mario Brothers movie. Like, you're not gonna read an amazing experience, but it'll probably be pretty funny.
Yeah, the problem is, Steve, and the problem is that when that's all that you've ever read, and then you're like, then like someone says like you're in a conversation about something and you're like, oh, what's your favorite book? And they're like, it's Harlequin Romance about a woman and a pirate. And like, you're like, you know,
you should branch out. Yes,
you should branch out a little bit. You should get a little bit more
there was a fucking, it was either Hard Times or Onion headline, but it was like man who only played Dark Souls games gets big Dark Souls vibes from other game.
Yeah, getting big Dark Souls vibes from this. I remember that. It was something else. It was like, man who's only seen one type of movie feels like he's getting big whatever movie vibes. I ruined that, but whatever. That's exactly it. So like, yeah, Black Library, it's great, but you know, you gotta branch out a little bit more. I know some of the Black Library hardcover Horus Heresy books go for a decent amount. But I think that's because there's collectors out there who would try to get the entire series in hardcover or softcover or like whatever have you. So they that's why it becomes a little harder, and those are limited print runs. Well, and blah, blah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I actually have a couple. The last I checked, they were really fucking rare printings of both The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Mm. They're really nice. They're in these big hard slip cases.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, if you have an original, like, let's anywhere below 10th printing of Lord of the Rings original hardcovers.
This would be rocking content. Let me pull it off my shelf.
Yes. No. Anything below 10th printing for like anybody who's still listening to our book discussion. Welcome to Bibliophile. I am your host, Joe, and with me is always my co-host, Steve. Today we're talking about, can you determine what printing your book is in? If you
games and reading are fundamental. Yeah.
If you open up the front cover and you know where to find the printing.
All right, let's see. I'm on the Lord of the Rings right now.
Yeah.
So this is the collector's edition from the Houghton Mifflin Company.
Houghton Mifflin,
whatever. Yes. This is the latest date I can find on here is 94.
Oh, that's not rare.
Collector's edition printed in the US.
Yeah, that's not that rare of an edition. Well, I mean, it's rare because it's older, but it's not really that that collectors of an edition. The Houghton Mifflin ones are the classic ones that were released just before the big before the movies. Mm-hmm. So, or right around the time of the movies. So usually that's the one that that's a little older one that you could come across. I have
Does it like actually say anywhere like where it's like what when it was printed?
Well, it'll tell you the edition that you could print in. If you open it up and you could find like the page that's generally right before the story starts. God, I'm so sorry to all of our listeners right here. You could find like the page that kind of tells you like where it was printed. And if you look, and then it'll say a bunch of numbers on the bottom. It'll usually say third printing.
This says 33, 32, 31, 30, 29, 28.
Okay, so it's the 27th printing of that edition. So that's how you can generally tell. It's like you look at the last number and it's the one before that last number.
Oh, okay. That's kind
of
cool.
Yes. So yeah, that's that printing of that specific edition too. It's the 95 edition. So
yes.
If you look, I have a Houghton Mifflin that's, I think it's like the 30, whatever, 31st printing of the 65 Lord of the
Rings. My Hobbit is from 1966.
Yes, that's not that old either. That was actually that was an edition that was released post Lord of the Rings. So after Lord of the Rings got released, The Hobbit got a new edition released. Because The Hobbit was originally printed, I want to say in what, 34, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was oldest. I couldn't believe how old it was actually.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings, I believe, the first edition was released in 65. So, yeah. Welcome to book. As I say, welcome to book chat. Now we're leaving book chat.
That's it. I mean, I've done the thing. I've investigated. I have some reasonably rare, I believe, copies of these. Not crazy rare, but those are like the ones you're talking about are like the ones where we're talking like $50,000, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not that expensive either. I wonder how much a first edition Lord of the Rings goes for nowadays. It probably goes for a little bit more than when I was last looking. Yeah, those were going for like, if you had a first edition Lord of the Rings fellowship, I think it was like $1,500 last time I looked, which is still a decent amount, you know, for a book that was published in 65.
And published a bazillion fucking times.
Yeah, it's mainly because it was, it's just got that collectability because of what it is Lord of the Rings. It's got that nerd cachet to it.
I keep trying to get my sister to sell her Harry Potter books.
Yeah, I have most of my Harry Potter books are all very early editions, but I do not have
my sister has all of the first printing hardcovers of every Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to sell those. I'm like, do you have debt? Sell those.
They're not worth as much because she's got to sit on those for another like 20 years. Seriously, like that book is only 20 years old. And so you got to like, if you sit on it for another 20 years and you wait till, you know, 40 years, that's when that's when it starts getting, but you gotta remember, it's the most popular book series of all time right now. Everybody has that. And a lot of people have those first editions. Hmm. In fact, J.K. Rowling herself was that J.K. Rowling was in Naperville promoting the first book. So many people out in our area have first editions signed by a J.K. Rowling out here.
Well, if it's anything like CCGs, an autograph can actually ruin the value.
Not. Yeah, not with books, not with a certified book like that. Well, that's what I'm. So those who will know, I'm a book nerd as well. But based on this conversation, but we have so I have a ton of Neil Gaiman signed books, and I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop where it's like Neil Gaiman turns out to be some sort of creepo, and like all of my signed copies are worthless. But I have a ton of them.
You're safe on this one. Neil Gaiman appears to be one of the few, like, yeah, actually, like, not like a scumbo.
Yeah, I know. Like, but that's the thing is, I'm always waiting for that shoe to drop. Him and Henry Cavill. I'm just waiting for that to drop where it turns out to be scumbos, and then I'm like, God damn it.
Nah, Henry Cavill is just a nerd. Henry Cavill is a really good look. You know what Henry Cavill is? I figured it out, and I figured out the whole thing. And this is why I don't think Henry Cavill will have a scumbo moment. Obviously, no one is sacrosanct. Like, there's always the chance that Tom Hanks comes out that like he's like actually like a very bad person.
Yeah, exactly.
But It's because Henry Cavill is a total fucking nerd, dork, wiener, who just happened to be very attractive and get buff. That is, yes, that is what Henry Cavill is. That's because if you ever talk, like, he seems like a super laid back, like, dork, which is really funny when you look at Henry Cavill. You're like, you would not expect any of that from that guy. You just kind of like Joe Manganiello or whatever.
Manganiello.
Manganiello.
I'm with you, except for the fact that I don't really believe he's a nerd. You know why? Because he's never once derided something that he actually likes. So he's not a nerd. Like, he hasn't complained about something. Like, to be a true nerd, you have to like something and then complain endlessly about it.
He's complained about some video games, but yes, I agree. Yeah. Like, you have to have the level where, like, you have to have a 20-minute speech that gets you, like, red in the face and sweating. Yes. About something, and then immediately you then play the something you were yelling about.
That's how you know that Henry Cavill is a nerd, because right now he's just like, I really like Warhammer. Well, where's he bitching about the new Custodes rules? Let me hear him bitch about the new Custodes rules, which are actually probably pretty good. So
what if he's doing it on forums?
He could very well be.
He's just on Discord, just putting GW on blast.
The Henry Cavill
with the screen name Henry Cavill Fan 3.
Henry, it's like, oh wow, this Henry Cavill Fan 3 is really active in the NSFW for part of this Discord.
He's really into Tau women.
Who isn't?
I mean, that's fair. Tau women are the hottest of all of the 40K women.
Well, you know, I guess. Whatever.
I mean, if you're into the BDSM part, you probably prefer sisters because you want them to step on you with those giant heels.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not into the being stepped on kind of thing.
Yeah. The what was I just
talking? Would like to watch someone be stepped on though. What's that?
I don't know. What's the crushing stuff? I don't know. What was that thing I just sent you about someone? Oh, Gimli. How Gimli, you know, Gimli's 5'1".
He has a giantess fetish.
Yeah. And like, I never really realized that I was watching Fellowship with my son. And I was like, man, I wonder, like, because Cate Blanchett's not that tall. And I was like, I wonder how tall Galadriel is in the books. And then
she looks like 7 feet tall.
She's like, she's like 6'5" in the books. And I'm like, yeah, wow.
And like, elves are supposed to be super tall.
Yeah, exactly. And Gimli's like 5 foot. So it's like, you know, there's a foot and a half difference between the two. Like,
Gimli's natural sprinters.
Gimli has a mommy fetish thing going on there. Maybe not a giantess, but definitely a mommy thing. Like, he definitely likes to have the boobs resting on the top of his head like Mickey Mouse ears is what I'm describing right now.
That's great.
Yeah, I actually my son is into Lord of the Rings now because we were watching that, and I actually pulled out some of the Lord of the Rings box sets that I have, and we were looking at some of the minis, and he's like, we should build it.
Those box sets, every one of those box sets is just such a good little, like, game.
Yes.
They really are just a good little game. Like, you don't need to do anything else to, like, I kind of regret a little bit about my history with that miniatures game. I think I really would have done better if I didn't try to actually, like, actively play it like a war game, and if I just bought the box sets and just, like, painted the box sets and put them and made them like a board game shelf and just be like, hey, you want to play Minds of Moria? And then just pull it out and run the Minds of Moria scenarios, and then Goblin Town, you want to play Goblin Town? And just run the Goblin Town scenarios, and then just put them back. Like, you just make them a board game.
Yeah, I have The Hobbit box set, because I got that from a friend who was looking to sell it, and it was actually at the time when you could not sell that box set.
Yeah,
like, no one was buying that box set.
Yeah,
I would have
a fantastic box set.
I would have lost money on that box set just because, like, no one was playing Lord of the Rings at that time. No one was playing Hobbit.
Oh yeah, that was before. That was when the editions were all fucked up too, and like the rules
the editions were fucked up. The rules, they had started to transition to a decent rule set, but still. I have that one, and I have my Battle of Five Armies set. I have two of those. Mm-hmm. Classic, one of the greatest box sets of all time.
Super good.
Yeah. The only thing that would have made that better is if they didn't come up with those alternative blisters, the Smaug blister and the Giants blister and all that, the Elven Cavalry blister.
Those blisters are fucking outrageously expensive.
I have so many of them.
They're so ridiculously expensive. I was talking about metal and how crazy metal, like metal anything is right now. I was talking to Angel about that, and I said, even Zacharias, the never selling, is worth money if you have a metal kit.
Yeah, I bought my Zacharias not too long ago. I bought it for like 65, which is, but it's a decent amount to go for.
Yes. I mean, and I would say that currently is a deal. The cheapest one I found was $100, and it was not even in the original box online at the time.
Yeah.
Cause I had to look, cause he's always my metric. My metric for like how ridiculous is the metals market is I just look at Zacharias. Cause I'm just like, that kit is the worst. No one cares about that kit. No one ever bought that kit. Hence the name Zacharias, the never selling.
Cause he's terrible. Like, he was terrible in the game.
Yeah, he was terrible. The model was finicky and awful to put together. He was terrible in the game. He was expensive. Like everything that you didn't want a model to be, he hit. So that's why he's my metric.
Yeah. So right now I'm looking at Battle of Five Armies, the full box set with the blisters. It's pretty ridiculous how much those are going for. I mean, the blisters are not terrible, but you're going to be paying way more than they were initially worth. I mean, like they're generally go for about $25 to $35.
However, there is a terrific, oh god, I can't remember the name. Oh, I'm so annoyed. There's a terrific range of alternate Lord of the Rings in that scale.
Oh, fuck, yeah. It's Cobblestone, right?
Cobblestone, yes. Their Lord of the Rings range is phenomenal. If you want to play a War Master scale Lord of the Rings.
Their 10mm fantasy is fantastic.
Yes, it's so good. That range is so good. If you want to play 10mm Lord of the Rings, you should use their models. I think they're even better than the GW ones. And I think the GW ones are great. So
yeah, if you have the opportunity, I love 3D printing, but if you have the opportunity, if you want to play a game and you want an opportunity to play that game the way it's supposed to be played, you get that metal minis. You get those metal minis.
You get those metal minis. Absolutely.
But those are pretty fantastic, and they pretty much match the Battle of Five Armies box set as is. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The one set that I do regret selling, and I had it and I got rid of it, and I kind of wish that I held on to it, was the Mines of Moria box set. The one with the plastic fellowship in it.
Yeah, that's a good box set. It was really fun. I actually played that one a couple times. That was a really good box set.
Yeah, it was a really good box set. And I kind of regret getting rid of that one. That might be one that if I ever came across it like at a convention or something like that, and I could get it for about $100, I'd probably pick that up.
But yeah. Also, that's the easiest one to expand on because all you need to get is a Balrog.
Yeah.
If you buy a Balrog, you have everything you need to ever run any version of Moria that you want. And there's actually multiple scenarios in there. Like that's the thing. Like there's a lot of really good little skirmish battles to play in those boxes. So that's kind of like one of my regrets with Lord of the Rings is that I never really sat down and thought of, it's one of those things. It's I'm more experienced now. It's just the classic, hindsight being 2020. I know now, man, I could have done this because of what happened.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't have, because back in the day, it was just that's not the way people played.
Right. You assume it's a starter box and it's not really a starter box. That's the whole thing. It's not really a starter box. It is its own thing. Cause those games were, cause now it's infinitely better, but those games were awful fucking war games. They're terrible war games.
Expand on what we were talking about here for a second, because I did have, oddly enough, I had three people contact me over between our last podcast and this podcast about 3D printing.
Are you counting me? Because I did that too.
Yes, you did too. I gotta sit down and do that. Maybe I'll do that today when I'll break down how much your thing's gonna cost. Steve is gonna get a alternative the undead army done.
Yes. I'm doing Tomb Kings, and I have a lot of good plans with it. One, I have my person I'm contracting to build for me. They're going to build it for me. They're also going to build my Strombolis.
Your Strombolis.
Yeah. So they're also going to build my Strombolis, and then once that's done, I have a paint scheme that's going to work, because I picked the paint scheme I picked for my Stormcast army is the Celestial Vindicators, which is that they basically look like Tomb Kings. They're in that, like, that they have that teal armor, you know, that like classic teal shield that the Tomb Kings have. That's the color of the Celestial Vindicators armor. So I happened to accidentally double dip with a paint scheme that's going to work for both my Celestial Vindicators and the Tomb Kings army. So like, I was like, oh, sick. Cause like, I can just be like, cause I mean, it's gold and turquoise. The difference is the dominant color for the Celestial Vindicators will be the turquoise, and they'll have the gold trimming. And then the Tomb Kings, obviously bone, but then their dominant thing is going to be gold, and they're going to have turquoise trimming. So it's actually like the same palette, so to speak.
Nice.
So I'm going to be able to paint it all kind of like together, which should be fun.
So on that, I also had I'll forget some people, but I'll just mention one of them. Small Robot, he's a guy on Instagram. He's a listener, and he was texting me about asking me about some 3D printing stuff too. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm a listener from the UK, blah blah blah. I'm like, oh, that's cool, it's nice. That I looked at his YouTube page, and he's got like 3,000 followers on YouTube. I'm like, we'd never had 3,000 listeners on a good day. Like at the top of our podcast, game, we never hit that.
Don't worry, Joe. We're gonna turn that corner, and one of these days we're gonna turn that corner, and we'll just do this for a living.
But yes, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. But as I was talking with you see these guys who do it for a living, and you're just like, I couldn't live that life. I can't live the social media life like that.
Yeah, you know, I used to think I could, but now that I've actually like done a lot, I don't think I can either. Like, it's too much. And like, I think you need to be just ready, and you need to be set up to do that. And like, we're set up to be like an entertaining podcast that hopefully someone finds. Like, yes, that's what we are, which is fine. I don't need anything more than that. But like, I see a lot of people who actually get that flash where they're super popular, and like their lives get ruined because of it. Like, a lot of people don't know that kind of shit, but like, what's her face?
Jenna Marbles.
No, not Jenna Marbles. I don't know much about Jenna Marbles. No, it's from a meme. The hit or miss. Do you remember that viral video for a while? The hit or miss, huh? Guess I didn't. Your girlfriend didn't kiss yet. And it was the chicken like cheerleader outfit. It was a massively huge viral video in like 2017, I think.
No idea.
Like, okay, well, whatever. She was a massive viral sensation, and like catapulted to fame. But then she tried to pivot to like use that to like become a platform and like do it as a career, but she was completely by herself, inexperienced, and didn't know. So like, she did things like created her own Discord server. She was hacked because she created her own Discord server. She has no manager, so she was doxxed multiple times. Like, you need to be ready if you're gonna put yourself into that space. And I'm not. Like, I don't want people like digging up some shit that I forgot I said because I was a shithead like 20 years ago on an internet forum.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't really feel like doing that. So
yeah.
And I get it.
So we, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. So yeah, 3D printing stuff. So just for people out there who just want to know, I have three 3D printers. I have for printing plastic, I have a CR10. It's one of the bigger versions. It's a CR10 plus or CR10S, I want to say. It's the bigger one. I use that for doing my plastic terrain. For resin models, I use my Elegoo Saturn.
Elegoo.
Yes, my Elegoo Saturn. I have an Elegoo Mars for one, but I have someone who's borrowing it right now. Dwayne's borrowing it right now. He's to play around with. Yes, he gets to play around with that one. I have the Saturn, which I use to for most of my minis. If you're going to do mini printing, you get resin. If you're going to do terrain, you get a plastic printer. You don't try and do you don't try and do figures on plastic. It doesn't work. It looks fucking awful. You could do.
Hey, what's my what's the it's I don't know if it's called a 3D printer, but I see you're deep in the shit here, so you might know. Yeah. What's the thing where it's like a small metal cube and like the machine like spins that cube into a shape? I saw them making helmets with it.
Maybe a lathe.
Is it? I don't know. It looked like a 3D printer. It was really weird.
I mean, like there's certain things like there's laser cutters and like what's it called? Like laser burners. So like there's those machines that you can put like the sheets of plywood in it and it cuts out the terrain for you. Like stuff like that.
Okay. Like, yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are the three printers I have. I had an opportunity to upgrade to an Elegoo Jupiter, which is bigger, but I was like, I have never come across something that I need to print in one piece that would need something that big.
Right.
That thing is massive, and I just don't need to print anything that big. Like, I can print stuff.
What about your body armor and your guns?
Well, that's the thing, is the Jupiter's still too small to do, like, big fucking projects. So you could do some terrain, but if you're doing terrain in resin like that, it's going to cost you so much fucking money, like ridiculous amounts of money to do print terrain like that. It'll be fast, but it'll be expensive. It'll be expensive as all hell. Mm. So just keep that in mind. And if you do, what the other thing that I want to say to 3D printing for some people is, like, yes, there are plenty of free models available on Thingiverse, on Colts 3D, on Yegi. Those are like three main sites. They're mostly aggregators. Yegi is mostly an aggregate site, but Thingiverse and Colts have a lot of stuff. All of the good stuff that you're going to want to print, you have to pay for. And just keep that in mind, that you have to pay for the good stuff. So don't bitch and moan about this free stuff, because it's free.
I was actually talking about how much I like the older, like, shittier models. So like if I had a 3D printer, like I would just be printing like stuff from Dragon Strike, Hero Quest.
Oh yeah, like the stuff I sent you last time we were
Yeah, talking. That's absolutely what I would be printing. Like I would just be printing like the old shitty board game stuff and like making, like, be like, yeah, this is what I like. I don't know. I just like the old, but I think because of the designs and like how good models are now, it's like had the opposite effect on me, where I'm just like, man, those models are cool, but what I really want to do is just paint a fucking knight who is in full plate armor with a sword, just kind of standing.
Oh yeah. Like those are pretty fantastic. And like the people who did those, like who put those files up there, are mostly just taking full on scans using like really good, what's it called? Really good 3D scanners, like dental scanners.
Actually, I got forwarded a really, really cool model that I thought was like, I was like, oh, okay, now this is what I'm talking about, like for 3D. Because like I said, I don't really care about 3D printing for like counterfeit stuff, whatever. It's like, just buy the fucking plastic. It's easier to work with than resin anyway. But there's something that is not replicatable with like something I could go buy off the shelf, was I thought was badass, which a bunch of people are doing the 3D scanning, like you said. But what they're doing is they're scanning old, like the example I was shown was an old ass third edition Terminator squad when they were tiny and on the little bases. But what they did is they scanned those minis, upscaled the bodies, made alternative arms out of the scans, and like gave them really good updated looking storm bolters with pre-drilled holes, and then put them on the correct size base. So when you actually put them next to a contemporary Terminator model, they look fucking amazing.
Yeah, I've
seen it. Was like, that looks fucking great. Because I didn't realize how detailed those old metals actually were, because so much of it got lost in the forging.
Yeah.
But when you scan it and you blow it up, I'm like, oh shit, he's got shit going on.
he's got shit going on there. Well, I sent you the skeleton sprue from the old plastic skeleton sprue.
Yes, it made me simultaneously happy and sad.
because of how good they were and how bad everything else was.
Yes.
Everything since has become.
It's true. It's true.
That's there. You know, there's lots of good, I should write out like my list of the top 10 3D Patreons, 3D printed Patreons out there that you could get into. You know, I could tell you right now, the number one is Titanforge. I will always go to bat for Titanforge. They have two. They have a sci-fi and a fantasy one. Last month, I don't know if like 3D Patreons, like if there's some sort of like communication that they all have of like, hey, we're doing this month. But like everyone did Kislev stuff last month. Raging Heroes, Titanforge, a couple
of because the Warhammer Total War 3.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just 1 month. So it was just like January. Everyone decided to do Kislev. That was it. It was like the craziest thing. Did Total War 3 drop this month?
I think that was like the height of Total War 3 spoilers. It's not, I think it's coming out like imminent. I believe its release is imminent, but not yet. But my opinion as to why they would be all producing around the same is because everyone gets news at the same time. So they were all like, well, Kislev is what's hot right now. So we're all going to do Kislev. We're all going to put our Kislev offering on the table.
The Kislev stuff is hot. Definitely Titanforge is number one. How I got on this was because I wanted to talk about the Lord of the Rings stuff. And so the Mines of Moria, the reason why I'm not going to go out and buy a Mines of Moria box set is there's a Patreon out there, and I've talked about them before. They're called the Printing Goes Ever On.
They do non-GW style or loader stuff, right?
Yes, and they've been doing it for well over a year, so there's a shit ton of stuff that they've done. And they also did a Kickstarter. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Mines of Mazanar, I believe is what it's called.
Nice.
Of course, it's the Mines of Moria.
Yes, we love to see it.
Yes. Mines of Mazanar. Okay, I said it right. It's a pretty fantastic replica of Moria. Some really cool stuff in there. So if you did want to do scenarios like that, if you wanted to do your fucking Moria, that's the fucking place to do it. You know, and what I like about the Print Goes Ever On as well is they put out battle maps. So they will, you could print out an entire fucking battle map of whatever you're playing and lay it down. Or you could, if you're really cool, which is what I'm planning on doing once I get my new place, is I'm going to build myself a gaming table with TV inside of it. So I could just project it onto the TV and not have to worry about printing it. So keep that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah, I don't think I appreciate battle maps, and I think that kind of is the method of the future for maybe tabletop gaming is the projected battle map, not projected down, but projected up from a TV screen. So just to keep that in mind,
like playing on the TV screen.
Yes, playing on the TV screen.
I could see that. I'm still a little bit more on the analog thing. So, but my version of that is. There's a series, I can't remember the name of the company, but if you look for them, they're maps in spiral bound books, and you can get really big ones. Those are my personal favorite because you just flip open a page, bam, you got your battle map ready to go.
Oh yeah, 100. Yeah, you're right. Those are very, very cool to fucking use. It's cost wise, it's like I could have a full fucking disk drive full of battle maps that I could just bring up on the TV whenever I need to.
Right. Yeah. It all depends on what you need.
It all depends on presentation too. Like depending on what table you're playing at, what's going on.
If you have a really tactile physical game and you've got like, you know, you do the accoutrement, you probably want to have that book because you could open it with grand ceremony be like, here is the dungeon or whatever.
Yeah. I also think it goes down to gaming tables. Like some people, like, I think, you know, it's hard to say, but with gaming tables, when people make their own gaming tables, I think the biggest mistake that most people do is they make the table too deep. Right. So like there's always in a gaming table that the gaming part is recessed, but people go deep. They go like 3 inches deep.
You need the depth of a thumb going horizontal. All you need.
When I was thinking, when you said that, I was like, the depth of a thumb going horizontal. Maybe I got small thumbs.
The depth of an average thumb going horizontal.
I mean, I was gonna say, like, I think mine is, let me see, I'm gonna get out my caliper right now. and measure my thumb.
I think it's like a half inch, give or take.
You're talking about the like the diameter of the thumb.
Yes.
Okay. Oh yeah, I mean about a half inch, maybe an inch.
Yeah, like that's all you need. Inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about
actually kind of what I was thinking was like a half inch is because that's like the depth of like a decent amount of styrofoam, like a decent styrofoam sheet that you could replace. So like that depth is about perfect.
Yeah, I also agree. I see too many people like they're like if you have to reach into your table, it's too deep.
It's too deep. It's absolutely too deep. The that's one of the problems that most people have because they're like. Like they'll be like 3/4 of an inch. That's not that much, you know. I needs to be deeper. You know, they want everything to be exaggerated. Like when you look at the porn with the women with like the really big fake boobs, and it's like you know some people are really like into that.
The size of a human body.
Yeah, and you're not that big. I'm talking like like a 90s porn star who had way too much surgery. Big, and you're kind of like you're like. I could see why people
you're talking
like
still within the realm of actual human beings.
Yes,
size.
I'm not talking like weird hentai stuff. You know, it doesn't even have to be hentai. I'm not going to be discriminatory on that one. But the, you know, it's a gross exaggeration that you're just like, I could see why people would think that people want this. But I mean, when you're confronted with it in actuality, you're probably kind of like, eh, but I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. So if you like the deep table and you like the big boobs, more power to you.
I like the big boobs and the giant D at the same time.
Yay! I'm just trying to think of any other gaming stuff that we would need to discuss. I don't think there's too much.
Right now, there's like a lot of malaise about GW in general. That seems to be a thing. I wouldn't say
malaise because a lot of the competitive people are very excited about some of the FAQ stuff that's come out. Tau have become very, very good.
It looks like they actually like fixed them, which is nice because they were unplayably bad.
Yeah. So it looks like they fixed them. There's some stuff with the custodians that's really good. I know that all that stuff just dropped out. Games Workshop has made the most WTF box set for Age of Sigmar, which is the Fire Slayers versus the Deepkin, which are kind of like
who asked for that box set?
I don't know.
Who wants that box set?
Hey, you know, people who want to play Deepkin or Fire Slayers.
Here's my thing on that though. Like, if you were interested in either of those armies, you've definitely already got your army.
Yeah, that's kind of the part I was thinking about it.
Those particular choices are strange to me because like those armies are like if you wanted those, you've definitely already got them because nobody is going to be jumping on a Deepkin army right now because Deepkin aren't very good and Fire Slayers are also kind of like right now. So like, I mean they're not bad, but like. Neither of them are like top tier and they're both extremely well-known armies at this point. It's just a very odd very odd choice.
Odd choice. And the one of the things that made me kind of while I was thinking about that, I think we were talking about a little bit but not this part here, was that I think what GW's next strategy with armies in fantasy or with Sigmar or 40k is what they really are, you know, it's more of a Sigmar thing. But what they really need to start doing is they put out the army for a limited time. And I'm not saying like a limited time as in like 3 weeks. I'm talking like maybe 2 years. Like an army has a shelf life of 2 years, then it is retired to the back. So then when they release the army again, like with a new, maybe updated rule book, they could re-release the entire army. And that way it seems fresh and new because now, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. Here's the thing, Sigmar specifically, and I don't know, I mean, again, I'm only into Sigmar stuff, so feel free to correct me or tell me if this is the same for 40K if you know, or if any listener wants to do that. But Sigmar just recently talked about, and they unveiled it with a pretty big banger of a update, but they also talked about how they're not going to just rely on the General's Handbook for changes anymore. They're like they're still going to be the General's Handbook, like that's still going to be like the bigger overall balance changes that's still going to happen once a year. But they said I don't know if they laid out a specific schedule, but it's going to have an actual schedule of updates and changes for specific war scrolls that are problematic in some way. So for example, Kragnos was dog shit. He was so good, but like on the table, he's terrible. Like he just died like super easily. Yeah. Like he ended up not being anywhere near as good as anyone was hoping because like his rules were good. He was just like, he was just made of glass. Like he just died. So they
somehow,
just
somewhere Palpatine has returned.
Somehow Kragnos has died. But like, so what they did is they did a big change. They updated his war scroll. So now he has new abilities and no longer can be one shot. They add like, that's what I mean by enough. Like, this is like a massive, like they just added a completely new rule to him, which he did not have before. So the fact that they're willing to do that is I think a massive deal. And what they gave him an ability where he can't be one shot anymore. He just takes damage instead. I think he takes D6 or something, or a D3. If anything would outright kill him, it doesn't work anymore. He just takes some damage instead, which is an incredibly like, now people are like, holy fuck, Kragnos is like, people are using Kragnos now. They're like, fuck yeah, he's dope now.
No one's using that.
He is. They really are. He's fucking good as shit now.
I'm sure. I don't know. Last.
Oh yeah, no, he's good as shit now. Monsters are insane in this edition. Like that's like the Stormcast. Like it's kind of funny because like the Stormcast. I wouldn't say the Stormcast players are mauling, but like the dragons for Stormcast are so good. They got nerfed before they came out. actually got nerfed, so you had they got points increased, so you can't take. I think it was I think the original list pre this point increase was two big dragons and then four units of two. Now the list is two big dragons and three units of two, and it's still super fucking strong. So like they didn't even come out yet there. So all of these things I just said are still to me like unheard of for Games Workshop to do any of the things that I just laid out, like changing a model's points before it came out. What? Actually updating rules not outside of a codex. What? Like, so that's really exciting to me, and it makes me feel that like if you have an army that sucks ass in Age of Sigmar right now, just wait. Like it'll probably be fine at some new point. Stuff.
And I'm I'm sure like get out of your Howard Hughes moment for long enough to go to Adepticon this year, but if you do go, you'll probably be able to see kind of how the meta is for Sigmar right now.
Yeah, well, I guess they've been like, the meta's been pretty much evolving because like everyone's been either playing in person at those events that ran this year, but like they all play on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
So there is an actual like pretty defined meta, and like basically it's like use monsters, and unless your Gloomspite gets, your army is probably okay, at least okay, I should say. Gloomspite Gits are in a really bad spot right now. They need OCR Bone Reapers. They're also fucked.
Oh yeah.
Both of those armies need reworks. OCR Bone Reapers specifically got fucked because of their special mechanic where they used stacking command abilities, because that was how they were designed. They were designed to use the stacking command abilities, which were a design feature of second edition, but they removed in the general rules. They basically removed command abilities. There's kind of like no such thing as like a generic command ability anymore. Like characters don't have them. Like if you look at any of the new character war scrolls, all those like command abilities that used to be on generals are gone. They just don't exist anymore.
Oh.
So because those don't exist anymore, they also said like you can't stack them clearly. So like the OCR Bone Reapers very specifically like combo heavy playstyle of like using this command to do this, to do that. Yeah, it don't work. They literally don't function anymore. Like their army just doesn't work. So that's a problem. They need an update. That needs to get repaired. And then the Gloomspite Gits were never super strong to begin with. And the new addition with the way the reinforcement points worked and how like horde armies are kind of just bad now. The Gits have no like recourse. They're just kind of bad. They just like aren't good. So they kind of need a little bit of a specific workaround. And in my opinion, I think the easiest thing to do, I don't know if they will, because the design direction of this game clearly seems to be going with, we want less models on the table and more big models on the table. So they're kind of moving away from any possibility of doing hordes. But my initial guess to like what I would do for Gloomspike Gits is just give them more reinforcement points. Because they made the reinforcement thing a points thing where it's like, you know, you have 4 reinforcement points and it costs whatever to do like a double size unit, a full size unit, so on and so forth. You could just give the Gloomspike Gits more. So that would be like the first step. So you could have more goblins on the table. But yeah, right now they're in a bad spot. But other than those two armies, like you probably have at least a like you know 3-2. You have a 3-2 tournament record army, most likely somewhere in your book, no matter what army you're playing, if not better.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that's really where you want to be. And like, and I understand, and like, yeah, it sucks for Gloomspite and OCR players. I understand like that. It sucks to have your army kind of like fucked over by the new edition, but like they seem to kind of be the only real casualties. And it kind of makes sense because those armies were so specialized. The Gloomspites were like, we are about bringing an absolutely ridiculous amount of models to the table, which is the like antithesis of the current design direction for Age of Sigmar. And then the OCR Bone Reapers are like, we use a really specialized rule set that no longer exists. So, yeah.
I mean, makes sense to me.
Yeah, so, but yeah, there's plenty of great lists out there. The games are, I think the game's in great shape. Also, like, if you really want to be a sweat lord competitive player in any minis game, you don't fucking care about what the armies are. You're just going to play whatever the best army is, which is totally fine. But, like, you don't need to worry about armies that are bad because you're just going to be like, I'm going to build this army because it's the best. And then then in 4 months when the next tournament rolls around, you're probably playing a different army because a new army book has dropped or there's a new combo that was found. So you're just playing that army now. So outside of them, like if you're just going to have like if you're going to a Sigmar tournament to like have a good time, which is what you should be doing, basically any army is good.
Why would I go to a tournament for a good time?
Believe it or not, you can do it. You can do it. It all hinges on your first round. It all hinges on your first round. Like you wanna if you win your, so here's the thing, if you're going to a tournament to have a good time and you win your first round, you want that victory to be as narrow as possible.
Okay.
you want an extremely narrow victory so that your next round opponent is likely not an angry sweat lord. And well, if you lose your first round, you have to hope that your second round opponent is someone who also lost their first round and is like, whatever, man, we're playing with toys, and not someone who's just like, fucking tyrannids. Like he calls it the table. He's already slamming his fucking tray down on the table because he's so mad because he lost the first round. Yeah, you don't want that guy.
No, you don't. No one wants that guy. Or a Nazi.
And if you are that guy, well, those guys are usually also Nazis. But if you are that guy, quit playing Warhammer. Just quit. Find a new hobby. Get a new hobby or no hobby. Watch TV. you should stay away from society.
All right, everybody. I think that's about our time for this week. Go to our Game Classy Facebook page. This is the best way you can get in contact with us. You could like, comment, subscribe on iTunes, and like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. That was one.
Hey, and if you haven't, you know, leave us a 5-star review. Get us trending. Get me and Joe to retire into the world of becoming full-time podcasters.
Never gonna happen. Full-time podcasters. I think if either of us could do it, you would probably be the one who'd be able to do it because
I could do it.
Yeah, you do the solo Twitch show. And,
yeah, I could do that.
You would have an anime avatar as well. So
I currently have Rilakkuma, but yeah, I could have an anime avatar.
There you go. You could also follow Steve at underscore command throw, right?
Command underscore throw.
What did I get that right? On the Twitters.
Yes.
You can follow me at Game Classy Joe on the Instagram. We're all over the metaverse, really, is where we are.
We're all over metaverse. Yeah. I mean, you and I both, you know, we're huge. We got our NFTs.
NFTs. Yeah.
Yeah. NFTs, these nuts. Yeah. So there's like, we're in the metaverse. We're in the NFTs, you know, OpenSea, you know.
You wouldn't right click a monkey, would you?
I would.
or is it an ape? What do they say?
Those are apes. It's the lazy apes. Yes, they're terrible.
Yeah.
I think I would feel less annoyed with NFTs if the popular NFT like ranges weren't so hideous.
But I mean, it's, but I mean, even still, it's like, it's really dumb. Like what NFTs should be is like, art, like where it's, you know, it's a way of like people owning art.
Right. Well, that was what the guy who designed it, the guy who came up with the idea, like that was his intention. And then it was immediately grabbed by tech bros. And they were like, we can turn this into a pump and dump Ponzi scheme. And they did.
Well, yeah. Well, it's also a little bit off of cryptocurrency, which is also dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a pump and dump Ponzi scheme, but like there's levels here. NFTs are somehow worse because NFTs are also like not only are they like have all the same issues with crypto, but like most of the like top NFT people are just literally stealing art from artists. So like the people they say that like, oh, this is gonna help the artists make money, it's like, no, it's gonna help you make money while you're stealing from artists.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right. Steve, until next time.
I already blew my wad in it, but I'm going to say it again. NFTs these nuts.
Later.
Game classy.